We've seen some fantastic pictures transmitted back to Earth from the Mars exploration rovers. NASA scientists are hoping to find life on Mars, and evidence of water on the surface bolsters their excitement. But does water necessarily equal life?
Just having water on Mars does not mean they found life. Life is so unthinkably complex.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien with the Institute for Creation Research. For years, the conventional scientific community has tried to find life in other places besides Earth, especially targeting the Red Planet. And while all other attempts to find life on Mars have failed, the newest Mars mission seems more promising to NASA. But why? Join us for the next 15 minutes as we talk about the Mars Exploration Rover mission and discuss the complexity of life. So just why are NASA scientists saying that some form of life may have been or still may be present on Mars? The answer? Water. Scientists believe they've found evidence of water existing in the past on Mars. But what does finding water have to do with finding life? Tom Henderson is a creationist and a retired NASA engineer.
Evolutionists assume that life evolved from non-life, and this is called abiogenesis. Various scenarios imagined for this involve a watery soup. So you search for water on Mars or on any other place that you're looking for life.
And the hope of finding water is the reason two robots were programmed to land in certain areas of Mars.
The first rover, called the Spirit, landed January 3rd in the large Gusev crater. The Gusev crater, NASA thinks, may have been a former lake, so that's why they wanted to look at that site. The Opportunity rover landed 3 weeks later on January 24th at the Meridiani Planum, which is 6,000 miles west on the other side of Mars. The reason they chose that site is because the Mars Global Surveyor spacecraft detected a formation composed, they think, of gray hematite. And this is a iron oxide mineral that normally indicates the presence of water.
However, ICR Senior Vice President Dr. Dwayne Gish says that scientists are incorrect when they equate the formation of life with water.
You don't just pour water into a bucket and stir it long enough and life pops out of the bucket. Very precise conditions would be necessary for the existence of life. And even if you had those conditions, life would never have evolved because it contradicts what we really know in physics and chemistry.
Tom Henderson.
You know, life is a lot more complex than just water. Life that can convert energy into useful work, that can self-diagnose and repair itself and reproduce itself, requires a genetic code. And we've discovered that this genetic code is a vast information content which is stored in the genes.
But is there sufficient evidence that water once occupied parts of Mars? ICR President and geologist Dr. John Morris says scientists need to look at other processes besides water that may have caused the geological effects found on Mars.
Sedimentary particles like you see on Mars, like we have here on Earth, they can either be deposited by water or by wind, and so we really don't know for sure if these are water-deposited particles or wind. But just having water on Mars does not mean they found life. Life is so unthinkably complex. It needs water to survive. Water is a necessary requirement for life, but it is not a sufficient requirement for life. Life does just not spring to existence and spring alive just because you got water. It takes a lot more than that. Basically, life comes from life. That's the only way science knows that life can get here.
Previously, evolutionary scientists had announced evidence of past Martian life. Dr. Gish exhorts us not to believe everything we hear.
I want to caution about what these people say, because, you know, a few years ago, they claimed they found a meteorite down in Antarctica, which they said had been knocked off the planet of Mars by some procedure and had been in orbit for about 30 million years and then had landed down there in Antarctica 13,000 years ago. they claimed there was evidence of existence of past life, microscopic life, in that meteorite. And it received a tremendous amount of publicity. Well, all the scientific research has been done on that meteorite since that time by many scientists has proven beyond doubt there's absolutely no evidence that that meteorite contained any evidence of life, past or present.
Space exploration in and of itself is indeed fascinating and educational. But as Dr. Morris points out, true science and evolution are two different things.
Sometimes people say, you know, science can put things on Mars and men on the moon, and then they look at us and say, why don't you believe science when it talks about evolution? Well, the fact is, we do believe in science. We believe that science can do wonderful things, and science put these rovers on Mars, and they're doing wonderful things, and science put men on the moon. But this is not even analogous to the concept of evolution. Evolution is an idea about history. That's not really science like we're talking here in the Mars rovers.
Interestingly, scientists who believe in random chance and evolution for life itself don't trust that formula when it comes to space exploration.
Science could put men on the moon and could put these rovers on Mars because absolutely nothing was left to chance. The engineers solved every equation and did everything they could to make sure that nothing was left to chance. But evolution, the whole thing is left to chance. That chance did this, mutations, natural selection. Evolution is an unscientific concept.
Tom Henderson.
The simplest known life form has 482 genes and is composed of 580,000 chemical bases. The assumption that such vast complexity can arise by chance, I feel, is simply a fairy tale evolution.
What about the Mars rover mission? What does NASA hope to accomplish by the information gathered from the twin rovers Spirit and Opportunity? Tom Henderson.
NASA set four key goals for Mars exploration. And the first is to determine whether life ever arose on Mars. The second and the third reasons are to characterize the climate and the geology of Mars. And the fourth is to prepare for the human exploration of Mars. Now, they're not at all confident that these unmanned satellites that are sent to Mars will actually find life or evidence of past life. So eventually, they're looking to send people there for that same purpose.
While sending people to Mars will take decades, there are several other missions slated for the near future.
The next one is, which is planned for 2005, is called the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. And it would map the minerals on Mars' surface using a hyperspectral imaging spectrometer. They hope to solve the whole geographical puzzle of Mars, but that could really take decades. Now, following the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter would be another mission in 2007 and one in 2009. The current concept for the 2009 mission is a high-tech, nuclear-powered, long-distance rover and science lab. And it would have the capability to perform isotopic analysis to determine whether life contributed to Martian chemistry.
But will any of these missions actually bring material back from Mars?
A sample return is planned for 2013, and it would robotically gather samples and return them to the Earth. Then scientists could examine the Mars samples at the molecular level in laboratories here, looking for clues to the environment that existed when the samples were formed and whether those environments once supported life.
It's interesting to note that past missions to Mars also focused on finding life, but to no avail. Dr. Gish.
We had our Mars landers back in 1976, 1977, that sampled this material on the surface of Mars. And this equipment could analyze for the presence of life and for the presence of molecules that might have come from living organisms or might contribute to living organisms. And they found absolutely nothing. They were not able to identify a single molecule of any kind that might have been derived from living organism or would contribute to life. And so we have that abundant evidence already. I think it's a shame really, that we are spending billions of dollars on projects with the announced purpose to discover the origin of life and even the origin of the universe. In other words, what we're spending is huge amounts of money is try to verify evolution. And what we have received is an enormous amount of negative evidence.
But is there a possibility that life does exist somewhere else besides Earth?
We believe that the Bible would indicate God created life only on this planet. Now, we can't be absolutely sure of that, but Christ would not have to go to many planets and die there for their sins, you see. There's no indication whatsoever in the Bible that this is so. So we believe on the basis of the biblical evidence, certainly they'd find no life anywhere. They've found no evidence of life anywhere in the solar system except that here on the Earth. And, of course, whether there's life out there in space somewhere, we'll never know. It would be too far away for us to discover. So the only evidence we have, life exists only on the Earth.
And Dr. Morris doesn't think scientists will ever stop searching for life beyond our planet.
The whole goal of this effort from NASA is to try to find life somewhere else other than Earth. And they're just not going to be turned back by this. This is the purpose of it, to try to find life. But the reason they're doing that is not because they want to find life so much. It's not going to be worth anything to us. But what that means is if life is found on Mars, then life can happen spontaneously and by natural processes, and life is nothing special. And if life is nothing special, that means that we ourselves are not the created results of God's creative work in the past.
And this would mean that man is not responsible for his behavior.
The Bible tells us that we're created in God's image, but if life just happens, then, well, we just happen. And if we just happen, we're not accountable to a God for our actions and our choices. And this is what's driving the scientists there at NASA, is to try to explain the fact that you and I are here without being accountable to a creator God for our actions and choices.
However, we are important to God and of great worth.
Such worth in his eyes that he was willing to send his son to die, to set it right, to restore that communication and the fellowship between God and man that was broken by sin. The wages of sin is death. Christ died for our sins. And that's the whole sweep of the gospel message. It is interrupted. It is undermined by the whole concept of evolution and the idea that life could be here without God. But the fact is, God did create us. We are accountable to him. Our choices matter to him, and they will either be rewarded or judged.
As our program comes to a close, we hope that you've been encouraged. It's our desire at ICR to show that the Bible can be trusted, both historically and scientifically, and to give facts that will build your faith. As Christians, we need to understand the scientific basis for our beliefs. We pray that this program will aid you in your discovery of science and the Bible. You know, most people aren't aware that today there are thousands of scientists that are convinced of the truth of biblical creation and not evolution. Our non-denominational ministry aims to restore and strengthen the Genesis foundations of the Christian faith. If you've enjoyed today's edition of Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, why not visit us on the web to find out more about the work of ICR? The address is www.icr.org. Again, www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.